Welcome to Highly Sensitive, Happily Married, the podcast that teaches you to not only have an easier marriage as a sensitive woman, but to have one that feels more amazing by the day, where you'll hear relatable stories, love advice that works, and coaching on how to have a marriage where feeling upset and disconnected is a thing of the past, and where instead a sense of loving connection and even fun and lightness is the norm. I'm Hannah Brooks, highly sensitive person, love expert, and marriage coach, and I'm so happy to be on this journey with you. Hello, my friends. Welcome to episode 150.
Officially. It's actually not, it's like really 155 or something because I've done quite a few bonus episodes, but we're calling it 150. So let's celebrate this milestone with a special fun episode that's different than anything I've ever done, which is I put out a call for questions that listeners like you would like to have answered here on the podcast. So today we are answering three listener questions. But before I give those answers, I just want to remind you to please, if you have not done so already, leave a review for this podcast if you've been enjoying it. Reviews are like gold in the podcast world in that they, because of the way the algorithms work, they help the podcast reach more people so that those women, those HSPs have happier marriages, have better lives. So if this podcast has helped you, please take a minute or two of your time and head over to the Apple Podcast review. You can review it in other apps as well, but it means the most when it's done in Apple. Thank you so much. All right, so let's answer some questions. I want to make sure, before I actually dive into the answers, that you understand a couple things. For each of these questions, I could do a whole episode on them easily, as there's so much to dig into in each question. I'm also not just going to give advice, but rather help each person self-coach a bit, because I am a coach, not a relationship advice column. And I think I know that coaching is going to be so much more helpful for you. Coaching is about helping you tap into your highest wisdom and find your own best answers. So everyone who wrote in with a question, that's what this is going to help you do. Those of you listening, you're probably going to have, you're going to relate to these questions. So this coaching will help you tap into your own best answers. Lastly, since I'm not actually talking with these women who wrote in, I'm actually just guessing at some of what's going on and basing my answers on that. One reason that I've not done this kind of Q&A style episode before is that it misses so much compared to actually coaching you in person. In person, I am not guessing. I am getting down to what's really happening for you by asking lots of questions and clarifying and digging deep, right? So the answers that I'm sharing today aren't going to be nearly as helpful or on point as they would be if we were coaching together. Nonetheless, I think they will help you and everyone listening, as they are, like I said, really relatable questions. All three questions are somewhat about being frustrated or angry about something that their partner is doing. And that, again, is a common issue in relationships, right? And I do believe that since they're all kind of related, that each of the different answers that I'm going to give for the different questions are going to kind of build on each other and inform answers for the other questions as well. So feel free to weave all the answers together and apply all of it to any similar issues in your relationship. All right, let's dig in. So none of the people who wrote in wanted to use their real names, so I'm just going to make up names. So the first question is by Ella. So Ella asked, what are your recommendations for easing anger surrounding the innate stubbornness of your partner? Like when your partner often puts his foot down on things and sometimes you disagree with his opinion. No unethical things, just things like the timing of when things should happen. For example, when we should fill out tax returns, laugh out loud. Or something like how we should arrange the furniture in the house. In these cases, it feels easier to just let it go because fighting it seems to make make it worse and introduce power struggles that don't feel good. I don't want the power struggle, but I also don't want the anger. So, such a good question. And I totally know it's possible that you don't have to have the power struggle or the anger. I love how clear you are, Ella, that you don't want the anger, because sometimes we do kind of want it or like it. But you're so right. Power struggles are absolutely no fun, and anger often comes out of those power struggles and then also fuels those power struggles. So breaking that power struggle cycle is really huge and important. Now, I want to be really clear that you are asking me how to ease the anger, not how to navigate the issue of your partner being stubborn. But it might be good to look at that too, as they're intertwined, because I never want to coach anyone to not honor what's really important to them, or to always give in, or to put their desires on the back burner in favor of their partner's. That is not the goal, nor is it healthy, nor does it lead to a healthy relationship. So I'll make some logistical suggestions on this too. And please know that we are coaching you to have more power to navigate this situation by reducing the anger, right? It's important to understand that anger isn't necessary in most cases to get your wants and needs met. I sometimes think of it as kind of like a last resort, but you're far from needing a last resort, is my guess. So let's get to easing the anger, shall we? So first, understand that easing anger means gaining acceptance. When we're angry or frustrated, it's often because we don't accept how things are, how things are going. I think that sometimes there's like this part of us that misunderstands that being angry is a way that we're going to change things, like the anger itself is going to change things, right? But again, anger usually just leads to bigger issues, more power struggles, if we express it or we just hold on to it and like sit there simmering in it, right? So moving into acceptance of how things are is a really important step in the process of easing anger and gaining power, gaining influence, and actually creating good change in your relationship. In other words, acceptance is the first step to harnessing more power to make things how you want them in your relationship. And for you, what you want, my guess is to make the decision sometimes, or get to be the one who decides, or work better collaboratively to make good decisions for both of you. So there are different ways to move into acceptance, and it might be more multifaceted than I'm going to be able to answer right here today, which again is why I don't love doing the Q&A episodes, because usually the answer to our relationship questions are multi-layered and require multiple levels of work. But one place we are always going to need to take a deep look in order to ease anger and move into more acceptance is our thinking. So we're gonna dive into that in a minute. But before we do, it's really important to understand that if you're too angry in the moment in any given situation, you can't accurately or usefully look at your thinking. Like, it's just useless to try to take a look at your thinking if you're too emotionally charged. We can't see accurately, we can't see clearly. We might not be able to see anything at all except red when we're really angry, right? So for everyone, if you're really upset in general, you want to work directly to soothe yourself, to process those emotions first, to discharge their energy. Exactly what or how depends on you as an individual. And I found it can mean exploring a bit. But of course, there are very specific things to explore. One option to help you move through anger specifically faster is by following your body's impulse. So you may want to be alone for this, like in another room away from your partner, like, because if your impulse is to hit and kick, we don't want to hit and kick your partner, right? So go to another space and then let your body tell you what it needs to do to discharge that anger, right? And then just let yourself do that. Maybe it is kicking. Maybe it is jumping up and down and stomping your feet like a toddler, right? Let your body do that. It's good. as long as you're not hurting anyone or anything. Another very specific thing you can do here that you might not think of is towel twisting. So this is a great way to move anger through. You just take a towel and you roll it into a roll, you know, a long thin roll, and you twist one direction with one hand, one direction with the other. Just feel your arms like letting that anger right into that towel and twisting. You could also bare your teeth and growl as you're doing that, or you could not twist a towel and make claw hands in the air, like rah, rah, rah. This type of thing will really help anger to do its thing and then leave, causing no extra problem, and you'll be left more clear, more ready to look at your thinking. Then we can move on to actually addressing the source of that anger, meaning we want to look at what is actually causing the anger, which again is means looking at our thinking and doing our thought work. So this is also what we want to do if we want to, avoid the anger in the first place or eliminate it into the future around this particular issue of your partner's stubbornness. And for that, we're always going to want to look at our thinking, right? Our minds, and shift what's going on there. So the temptation, of course, is to focus our attention on him, on our partner, and how he's being stubborn and how frustrating that is, right? But to make any change in this anger, you want to actually do a 180-degree pivot and look into yourself, right? Again, that's why I keep saying looking at your thinking, looking at your thoughts, looking at what's going on inside of yourself. Because remember, our thoughts lead to our feelings. So you're having some thoughts that are creating anger about his opinions in these situations or his behavior in these situations, right? So the question is, what are those thoughts, Ella? Since you aren't here, I don't know. I can't really deeply ask you, although I can see a little bit of them from what you wrote in. So, but you need to start there by asking yourself what thoughts come up for you about this issue. So my guess is part of what's going on here is that your brain is generalizing and judging. Like something I see in what you wrote is that there's an overarching perception that your partner is innately stubborn. Yeah. I don't know about you, but if I thought that about my husband, I'd at least feel annoyed. And generalizing or kind of labeling in that umbrella type way can really constrict our vision so that we can not even notice where he is flexible, right? Or where he is willing to work with you, or where he is not being so stubborn, right? So that can really exacerbate the anger and kind of further lock you into this perception. It's like instead of here is my partner being stubborn about this issue, it's he's an innately stubborn man, right? And that feels to me like a deeply frustrating way to think about my man. And it would leave me feeling kind of powerless to do much about it. So instead of this way of perceiving him as an innately stubborn person, what if you try to narrow it down to each individual situation? Because really, is it true 100% of the time that in every single interaction he is always stubborn? I bet you could find places where he isn't if you try, right? And if you instead look at each situation as it arises, like how he wants to do the taxes at a different time than you, that's going to help take the anger away from just like who he is and help you focus on something you can actually work with, which is a lot more empowering. So let me ask you, Ella, what do you make it mean when he says he wants to do the taxes at XYZ time and you don't? What thoughts come up in your brain when that happens? Since we're not talking, I can just guess. Maybe it could be, your thought could be, he always wants to do it his way. Or, why can't he ever listen to what I want? Or maybe, he should do what I want this time. Or, my idea is better, he should see that. So, I don't know what your thought is, but find yours. And you can pause the episode to find it. And then notice what feeling comes up from that thought. Like the thoughts that I just listed would most likely produce anger if I were thinking them. So there you go. You've found the source of your anger. And so now you can shift it. Now, of course, you don't have to shift it. But if you notice what it leads to in this situation, it will probably motivate you to want to shift it. Usually anger in these types of situations don't help us communicate in a way that helps us come up with a solution. And like we talked about already, it mostly leads to power struggles and just more ick between you. Yeah. So to shift the thought, ask yourself, what else could I think in this situation? Now, once again, this would be so much easier to help you through if you and I were actually talking and coaching right now. But let's pretend your original thought causing the anger was actually, he should see that my idea is better, right? That was your first thought. We're just going to pretend. So maybe a thought you could think instead would be, actually, I couldn't really care less when our taxes are done, as long as they're done on time. Or maybe a thought you could think is, my idea is awesome for when we should do these taxes, but maybe his could be too. Or his idea is just as valid as mine. So those are just three different thoughts you could think. Try those on and see how you feel when you think them. They feel pretty different, right? Than he should see that my idea is better. Yeah? When you think these different thoughts, you're likely to feel a lot more neutral, more peaceful, more acceptance. More accepting, right? Peace and acceptance are the same thing, by the way. So finding the thoughts that work for you can take some playing around. Like the thoughts I just threw out, they might not land for you. They might not actually make you feel better. But you'll know you found the right thoughts for you when you feel more peace, more acceptance, and way less of a charge of anger, right? So that's what you want to play around with. And you can choose those thoughts. And you can choose to go into the next situation where he might disagree with your opinion from this place, from thinking in these ways. So please be clear. This does not mean that you should just let him always do what he wants and ignore what you want every time. No. We want to shift the anger so that we can better solve for both of you getting what you want. So you can communicate successfully and strategize successfully around it. So if you understand that your thoughts are driving the feeling of anger, and you recognize that the thoughts are just thoughts, not facts, which I'm going to say more about in the next answer, you'll be able to play around and find new thoughts that you can believe about this same situation or any situation. And then you'll be able to feel so much more peace, which will allow you to solve for and advocate for what you want so much more effectively. All right, so logistically, and we could always start here before all of this, right? You could sit and talk with him about solving this and making it work for both of you. There are a lot of solutions you could come up with that could make it so you both get to be happy when there's a difference of opinion around these types of things. And when you feel peaceful about it ahead of time and just in general, you're going to be best able to come up with your own creative solutions together and have a productive conversation around it. So that's why this is so important. But I do really advocate and advise you to have a good conversation around this with him. So a couple ideas for strategies that you could try out are you could measure on a scale of 1 to 10, how important each decision feels as it comes up. So like the taxes timing, right? Maybe for you, when you slow down and you really feel into it, it's only a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10 of what's important, right? So 4 isn't like super important to you. Like a 10 would be the most important thing, right? But maybe for him, it's like a 5 or a 7, right? Whereas maybe where the furniture goes is like a 7 for you. And for him, it's only a 5. And you guys just decide who gets to make that decision based on who it's most important to, right? And yes, in this way, one person may end up compromising more, but it won't be on things that are as important to them. And they will get their choice on the things that do most matter to them often. So that's a strategy you could explore, see what that's like to try that. Or you could take turns on who gets to decide these types of things. So no one's always giving in, which of course can end up leading to long-term resentment. So I really urge you to have a calm, productive conversation about this with him. And again, you're going to be much better able to do that when you're coming from a place of peace inside yourself, acceptance around how things are now, instead of feeling really angry about it. I know I've been there so many times. All right, so I hope that's helpful, Ella. Let's move on to Nina, who asked a great question as well. She wrote, how would you approach conflict with a husband in front of your kids? For example, he gets triggered by something, or he has an irritable or sarcastic tone, and it occurs in front of your kids or is directed at your kids. Mama bear instinct definitely comes out when people are sarcastic to my kids, and I find it so hard to keep my cool and not jump in to protect them. And similarly, I don't want to set a tone in the house where the kids think it's okay to talk like that. So I feel like I need to say something, even just, hey, ouch, when he talks in an irritated way to me in front of them. And that almost always leads to escalation, since he interprets a hey, ouch as an attack on him. He's also highly sensitive. Any advice? Welcome. Okay. Yes, this is a beautiful and important question, which I can totally relate to myself. That mama bear instinct, that is not a bad thing. So first off, just like I was urging Ella to do, I'm just curious, I guess. Have you had a conversation about this? Not like in the heat of the moment when it's happening or just after, but more like when both of you are feeling cool and calm and even connected. That's a really great time to have these types of conversations. Maybe when you're having some like fun together or something. So often that is the first go-to thing to do whenever some issue like this repeats in your relationship. Have a calm, loving conversation about how it affects you and make a simple, loving request for the future. I do have a whole episode about requests, so you can go check that out if you're curious how to make a request that tends to get through to your partner. But let's take a closer look, because you say it's hard to keep your cool and your mama bear instinct comes out. So my guess is you're reacting to your husband's irritability with a tone yourself, like a irritated tone. We could call that anger. I don't know for sure because I'm not talking to you, but irritation, anger, they're all on the same spectrum, right? And so if that is the case, notice that you're doing just what you don't want your hubby to do. So I think you're aware of this, and that's why you're asking about how to shift it. Or at least my sense is that this is what's happening because your husband is getting triggered by that. Most often, even in highly sensitive individuals, which it sounds like he is, when we speak in a non-irritated tone, we're going to get a better reaction. We're going to get a more calm reaction. So again, because you mentioned the word mama bear, my sense is that there is some tone coming, which I totally get. And that's not wrong, right? But I love that you have the awareness to be like, hey, I don't want to model that. I don't want to perpetuate that. So that's really awesome. So if you don't want to set sort of that irritated interaction as kind of a tone or a way of being in your house, I would invite you to apply my answer to the last question in this situation, right? The very same coaching and advice goes for you, Nina, because it's anger or frustration that you're feeling about what your husband is doing, just like for Ella, right? So for you, it would be like, my husband speaks in a tone. What are your thoughts about that, right? And maybe use the last time it happened. My husband said this in a tone. And then what are your thoughts about that, right? Because those thoughts are likely where you're getting a little bit triggered yourself. And then you're kind of perpetuating that irritated tone. And then he's reacting to that. And then, you know, it's just really not going in the direction you want it to go. So yeah, try out everything I suggested in the last answer. And I think when and if you really do just say, ouch, that this is a great thing to do. It models vulnerability and a bit of boundary setting in front of the kids, which is a great thing to model. But it doesn't sound like it's working out for you super well. And again, I would check the energy behind how you say it,
right? Like that phrase is a great phrase, but you need to say it from a place of actual vulnerability. Like you're connecting with the actual pain and tenderness that you feel when it happens versus like, hey, ouch. I'm exaggerating, but I don't know. Like when you say that, is the tone one of just, oh, ow, right? Vulnerability. Or is it out of anger or irritation? One thing you might try is saying, hey, could you please speak to me in a kinder tone? Or you could say, hey, that tone hurts. Would you be willing to use a softer tone, please? You could even tell them in your bigger conversation that I suggested about this issue is how you will be doing that in the future as a reminder to him, right? Saying that. Because you know how it can be easy when we are in a grumpy mood or in a conflict to forget to use a respectful tone. So your plan is to help him by reminding him to use that softer tone so you can really hear it. And you can tell him that he can feel free to do the same for you. That way you can be working together to model patience and respect and kindness to the kiddos, even when you disagree. I personally have used this strategy with my husband, and I like to say, hey, I can't hear you well or take it in well when you're using a tone like that. Could you please say it again with a softer tone? And that's worked well because I've shared with him in the past in a calm conversation together how when he uses a kind of harsh, irritated tone, how that affects me, and it makes it hard, really hard to actually hear, right? And that's very human, right? And I've taught him basically through talking with him about this, that a soft tone makes a world of difference in how well I'm able to take in what he's saying and in how well we can work things out, right? And he tends to be really responsive to this way of putting things now because we've had these conversations. And of course, I'm using a tone that's not angry when I say it. So find your version of that. Maybe, hey, ouch, isn't the right formula for you at this point. But again, if you try to do any of this from a place of anger and blame, it's not going to work well. So if you can do it from a place of acceptance of the fact that he hasn't fully yet figured out how to deal with his own irritated feelings, right? It's going to be so much easier to work with him on it. And it can help to notice how the same is true for you, right? If we're thinking about, okay, he hasn't figured out how to speak calmly when he's irritated, right? It can help for you to kind of accept that by noticing how that is possibly true for you to some degree too, and that you're both learning to do so. And that's a part of being a parent and a human being with complex emotions and not a lot of great guidance in your lives so far around how to handle those emotions, right? This is a human problem, not a your husband problem or you problem, right? So again, this is why the thought work and the emotions work pieces are so huge. So again, that's the first place to go. And that last question was a great answer for that. I think the next question will help too. And if you want extra help for moving out of irritation and into a more neutral, calm place where you can be vulnerable and respectful to him, the Relationship Rulebook podcast is an excellent episode, as is Should Pain and episode 50 called Men, Emotional Maturity and Love, or How to Invite Your Husband to Evolve. In that one, I just give you some really good ways and helpful truths and ways to think about our partner when they're not being very graceful in the way they communicate or interact. And that can be really helpful for helping to shift into a place of more acceptance, which again is going to give you more power to work with him and communicate with him about this. And, you know, stay in a place of being able to really model what you want your kids to see and learn, right? One last thing I want to share here for you, Nina, is that conflict in front of kids is not necessarily bad. So research shows that the important thing is that you show your kids how to make up if you have a conflict in front of them. So don't go making up behind closed doors. Make up in front of them if you do have a conflict that they witness. And don't hide all of your conflicts, right? That won't teach them that you can have a loving, healthy relationship and still have conflict, which is 100% true and is the case in all great relationships. There's still conflict. Great relationships just know how to move through that conflict and make up from that conflict. So avoiding showing your conflicts can lead the kids to fearing conflict and being conflict avoidant in their future relationships, right? So the key is not to have tons of conflict and emotionally violent conflict, right? Like, I'm not advocating for that, of course, but to have an occasional conflict and show them that when you do, you make repairs, that you can make up and work through it. That's such good modeling for them. All right, the last question for today was written in by someone I'm going to call Kelly. She says, I can't seem to train my brain to stop thinking negatively about my marriage, specifically about my hubby, and I frequently wonder whether I should be in this marriage or not. Some examples of my thoughts about my husband are talking in a silly little voice, frequently sleeping in the middle of the lounge room floor, repeating exactly what I've said 10 seconds after me, being unreliable, saying I don't know whenever I ask a question, and being annoyed at my questions, and not being aware of his behavior in public when he's spoken disrespectfully to me. She goes on to say, we have different levels of education, and I wonder sometimes if this has anything to do with it. I want clarity at this stage in my life, and I'd like to get rid of the doubts. Different comments people have made don't help. A marriage counselor said we would have trouble with one of our kids if we stayed together. A clairvoyant said I wouldn't stay where I'm living now, but I don't know if she meant just me or both of us. A friend said, what for, Kelly, when she met him? We love to travel, camp, and explore, which we do a lot, and I do not question a thing when we are away. I feel happy and carefree. I only seem to think negatively at home. I never felt anything as close to love as I did when I met him, but I didn't sustain that love. What is causing this thinking? It's very disconcerting. Any ideas? Okay, Kelly, so this is probably something many people are struggling with and wondering about, so thank you for asking. First off, notice that what you put as examples for thoughts are actually things he does, not thoughts you have about what he does. That was probably just an oversight, but if not, let's just get really clear about the difference. And I think this is going to be helpful for everyone. So the things that he does, like falling asleep in the floor, are what we call circumstances, or we can also call them his behaviors, right? Or the words he says, right? These are actually facts because he did them or does them. Like, they're things that happened, and so therefore they are a fact that has happened. If that makes sense? So your thoughts are what you make those facts mean. The story you tell about those facts, right? So you can't directly change these facts, at least not after they've happened. Like, if you walk by and you see him sleeping on the lounge floor, you can't change that he did fall asleep there, right? But you can change your thoughts about it. So that's why we want to see what the thoughts are that we're having, right? And then move on to shifting them if we want to, like we talked about in the first question. So for example, let's take the fact of him sleeping on the lounge floor. What is it that you make that mean? What is the story your brain is weaving about that fact? So again, I'm just going to guess because we're not talking. But maybe it's that is not where we're supposed to sleep, right? Maybe that's your thought. Or he's in my way. Why can't he be more considerate, right? I don't know what your brain is saying, but it's saying something that's probably making you irritated. And then here's the thing. If you're having these types of thoughts that are producing these feelings of irritation and annoyance, or just negative feelings, and you're having them a lot, and you listed a lot of circumstances that my guess is your brain is producing a lot of thoughts and feelings around. If you're doing that a lot, your brain is going to also start doubting the whole marriage, right? Because of course, if we're feeling negative a lot about our husband because of our thoughts about the things he's doing, the whole marriage is going to start to feel icky
And then we're going to start having thoughts about the marriage, doubts about the marriage. So instead, we could, once we see the thoughts that we're having that are generating these feelings of annoyance and etc., we could decide to take our brain, by the metaphorical hand and steer it to think in a way that feels better, which I think is what you're asking about, right? We could, for example, think a million other things other than, why can't he be more considerate? Or whatever your brain is thinking. Like, we could think, I wonder what it is about this spot that makes him sleepy. Or, I could learn a thing or two from him about how to really enjoy our home, right? Those are thoughts your brain could think. And I bet you'd feel really different if you were choosing to direct your brain in that direction instead of that sort of natural way it wants to go towards the negative. And that's the thing, right? Our lizard brain or our negative thought habits are simply easier for our brain. Studies show that our human brain naturally goes toward the negative or negative thinking 2/3 of the time versus only 1/3 does it naturally go toward the positive. So it's no surprise, Kelly, that you're having a hard time not thinking negatively. It's just what our brains do. And this can even be more true for highly sensitive people. So how do you stop it? That's really your question, right? You supervise it is the answer in the simplest sense. And that means first, you really focus on noticing those lizard brain thoughts, those negative leaning thoughts, right? And I'd even suggest committing for the next 2 weeks or even more to buckle down on simply observing that brain of yours. Like, step into the witnessing part of your brain and 2 or 3 times a day, write down the negative tilting thoughts your brain is producing about your husband and just notice them, knowing that they are thoughts, not facts. Like, it's not universally true that it's annoying that your husband falls asleep on the floor, right? If I saw my husband fall asleep on the floor, I might think it was funny. Or if your neighbor saw her husband sleeping on the floor, she might think it was cute. I don't know, right? It depends on what our brain is thinking. So instead of believing the thought that your brain produces about what's going on with your husband, be curious about that thought. Be fascinated about that thought as you recognize it as a thought. Be like, how interesting that my brain likes to think that when I see him sleeping on the lounge floor. And you can also question the thought, like, is this thought absolutely true in the grand scheme of things? When we ask that question, we find that it hardly ever is, right? And when we see it as just a thought, a story, a negative feeling story, then we no longer feel as icky, right? It helps us to kind of step back and not believe that thought so much, which frees us from the negative feeling it produces, like annoyance. So again, the trick is to be intentional, not to hope that your brain will just magically stop thinking negatively on its own. It's not going to do that on its own. And it won't even for a while until you've gotten excellent at observing and shifting. And even then, it's still going to produce a fair amount of quote unquote negative thinking because that is what your brain is wired to do. Right? So you have to develop the part of you that can witness those thoughts as thoughts, and then choose to not believe them and choose to see it other ways, to tell a new story about whatever the thing is, right? Him lying on that lounge floor, him repeating that thing you said back to you 10 seconds after you said it, right? You have to choose to think intentionally in a different, better feeling way about it. And eventually your brain will catch on and start doing that naturally much more often. And once you can start doing this, you're going to feel not so many bothered, annoyed, negative feelings, and it will be so much easier to stop doubting your relationship because you just feel better in it. So I have a little bit more to offer you, but I want to recommend a couple podcast episodes to point you back to. And for everyone who's asked these questions today and or resonating with these questions and answers, the first one is How to Work with Your Two Brains for More Love, Revisited. That's episode 120. And there's one, I don't have the number right now, but it's called Changing Circumstances Versus Thoughts, or maybe it's Changing Thoughts Versus Circumstances. Really good one, really important one. And a recent episode, which will help guide you to make this capacity to supervise your mind permanent, and that is called How Real Change Happens in Your Marriage. It's 144. So that's a really good one for you too, Kelly. All right. So also, there's often more to shifting your negative thinking than directly working with your thoughts. Okay, this is a piece of it. It's actually a very important piece of it, but it's definitely not all there is to the puzzle. So being happy in yourself is huge to being happy in your marriage and to not thinking negative thoughts about your marriage. So being in your common connect nervous system makes negative thinking pretty much impossible. It pretty much disappears. Whereas being in a fight, flight, or freeze state, that really means being stressed out, is going to lead to a lot more negative thinking. What's interesting to me is that you're happy with your husband, with your lives together, when you're camping and whatnot, right? So to me, this is a clue that there's something about home and your life at home that isn't nurturing you or bringing you happiness. And that is, it's not as much about your husband as just your happiness at home and something else that's happening there or not happening there for you. So the question is, how can you make your life at home happier? What do you need to do for you that will bring you alive in the way that you feel when camping? I think that there's a lot for you to explore here. And I think this is really beautiful, important, fun work for you to do. So there is one podcast episode on this, which is called Being a Happy, Fulfilled Wife. That's episode 44. So definitely have a listen to that one. One of the questions I have along that lines is, are you understimulated at home? I talked a moment ago about being overstimulated or stressed out, but sometimes for highly sensitive people, it's actually that we're understimulated. And that can lead to kind of like ruminating that and like the turning on the lizard brain. So we're seeing more through those flaw sight lenses. There is something about a bunch of boredom or non-engagement that can turn on the ruminating, more negative seeing part of the brain. So that's something to look at. Not sure if that's exactly the case, but there's something there about your life at home that I think you wanna learn to make more yummy and more nurturing. And that could look a million different ways. Lastly, you mentioned how other people have made comments that don't help. And this is like such a big deal to me that I'm going to make a whole episode about it because I have a lot to say about this and I want to help you understand what to do about other people's opinions on your marriage. But I'll tell you right now, no one else's opinion is as important as your own, and you do not have to take on other people's thoughts as facts or truths or let them infiltrate your brain and infiltrate your relationship. And Kelly, you said you've never felt anything as close to love as you did when you met him, but didn't sustain that love. So to me, that means if you felt love for him before, you can feel love for him again. And yes, it's normal that if we don't know how to guide our brains away from all that negativity, and we don't know how to guide ourselves into continuing to cultivate and feel those loving feelings towards our partner, we're not going to be able to sustain that love. So it's about learning how to do those things if you want to stay in love or rekindle that love. All right, my beautiful friends, I hope this was helpful. Please apply what I've shared here. As you can see, these questions are much more complex than they might at first seem. And as you apply and explore the answers that I've given you, you're likely to find more questions come up or that certain things I've said aren't clicking exactly. And this is why coaching directly with me is so much more powerful because we can troubleshoot together. We can hone in deeper on exactly the thoughts and beliefs and all the things, right? Instead of me just guessing from a few words that you wrote. And ultimately, we can really collaborate together on moving you into a place of feeling more love and respect and acceptance and all the good things in your relationship. And then being, of course, able to advocate and collaborate with your partner to create a better and better relationship and more of the things that you love to experience in your relationship. So I'm here for you. Treasured is here for you to do this. And I would be honored to work with you directly on anything that's coming up in your relationship to make your relationship one that feels light and loving and connected and totally mutually respectful and like a collaborative team in life together. So to learn more about how to coach with me in my program Treasured, head over to the link in the show notes or www.lifeisworthloving.com/treasured and be oh so well.